Okay, good evening. Thank you very much for joining. This is going to be the last Hashkafa Chavura of this semester. Next week I have a wedding. The week after I have DRS graduation. And the week after I have another wedding. So it's really not going to happen on Monday nights. So I want to thank the Chassan, Aryeh Mandelbaum, for setting up this Chabura. I really have enjoyed giving it. We'll see what happens in September, but for now we're going to be off for the summer. But anyway, I did want to give one last one, so I'm happy that some guys wanted to hear one last one. You know, how do you decide what to speak about in the last one? But so I was asked to speak about punishing kids, whether it be in a school punishing kids, whether it be in a family punishing kids. And I will just, full disclosure, I come from a family where my mom and my dad did not exactly have the same views on this. My mom was more into punishing. My dad was totally not into punishing. Anyone who knows my dad knows that he wasn't really into that. Now, I'm certainly tend a lot more towards my dad. My dad's view. I'm not very into punishing people. I don't really think it works. I don't find that if people are going to get, a stama consequence just because you violated something, so you're just going to get stama punishment. I have not found in my experience that such a thing works. I think it's much better to try to teach. You have to teach. You have to use opportunities where kids go offline to teach them. And a lot of times, if you suspend punishment, you'll have a lot easier time of teaching. When a kid gets punished, even if they think they deserve the punishment, they still get really angry about it. And when they're angry about it, they can't really learn. That's been my experience. Again, there could be some consequence, but whatever. We had a situation in yeshiva this year where a kid did something very, very bad on a bus. And so, I required him to get counseling. I mean, he was out of school for a while, but it was more that he had given up the privilege of being in school because of what he did, and I required him to get counseling. And then after we let him back, we wouldn't let him go back on the bus. That wasn't really, again, the truth is, if it was totally up to me, I probably wouldn't have said that, but I did think that that made sense because he had given up the privilege of doing that. It's not so much a punishment, but it's just that he demonstrated that it was not, he demonstrated that he wasn't really capable of riding the bus in a safe way. So in a case where quote unquote the punishment like really does fit the crime, then maybe I could see it. But generally speaking, I think explaining things to people, and again, my assumption is that this is part of me lishitasi, that I tend to believe in people. I tend to believe that most people are not wicked. They're not people who naturally are wicked, nasty people. People generally want to do the right thing. You have like 1% of the population that like the screws are so loose in their brains that they're like really wicked people. But it's only 1% of the population. So I'm not going to speak about the 1%. But most people are reasonable people and they believe that there should be a fair and equitable society. And when someone does something wrong, a lot of times there's reasons why they do things wrong, and you have to try to get at the root cause of the reasons, get the person themselves to see why what I did was wrong and why it's important to try to change your behavior. That was my father's approach. And over time, modeling the right behavior for kids and encouraging them to behave the right way, I think goes more than punishment. Again, in DRS, I mean, whatever, you come late to davening, so one times, two times. So after a while, you have to stay in yeshiva late because you took away time from yeshiva, so we require you to give back the time. And, you know, we can't have a place that everybody thinks they can come in whatever they want. It's just, it's bad for the rest of the school. So consequences that make sense, that fit the crime, that are, that, so then I could hear those because that'll help the kid learn. But just stop to slap a kid on the wrist because he did something that's not, that doesn't, that I don't think that that really works so much. I want to just make two other comments, but then I really want to hear what you have to say. One area that I feel very strongly that punishment does not work, and I think there's many people who disagree with me on this, is in the area of bullying. In the area of bullying. I don't want to go into the details, but somebody this year criticized me very strongly about the way I deal with bullying. But I've been dealing with bullying for 31 years, and I have very strong feelings on this, that I don't believe, and again, here again, I really don't believe 99% of people who bully other kids, it's not because that they are fundamentally misanthropic people. They're like, they hate people. They usually they mean it as a joke. And usually, again, sometimes they're doing it to build themselves up, or it's a sign of their own low self-esteem, or whatever it is. But most people don't enjoy hurting other people. Most people don't enjoy, in most cases, it's not like where the person's going out of the way. You know, if you call attention to a person who bullies somebody else, and you call attention to them and you say, "Do you know that you hurt this person when you said this?" Most kids, at least, you know, they don't want to hurt other people because people don't like to be hurt. So just like you don't like to be hurt, they don't like to hurt other people. They just don't realize the level of what they're doing is so hurtful. And you just need to show them that. Yeah, I'll tell a kid, if you keep bothering this kid, I asked you nicely not to speak to him, you keep doing it, I'm going to have you sit at home because I can't have you here because you're going to keep on bothering the dads out of this kid. That's not so much punishing the kid, it's more protecting the other kid. But I've found, and I've dealt with a lot of quote-unquote, you know, bullying situations in my life, and I really don't believe that most people really enjoy causing other people pain, and that's a particular area that I don't believe in it. Now, someone asked me to speak about, and I know this is the, and many of us would be surprised how frequently this happens, but someone just in the few minutes before the chat asked me to speak about that they feel that their parents like used, you know, physical punishment with them, and they harbor such resentment to their parents for using physical punishment with them, and that they can't really bring themselves to respect and honor their parents properly. What are my thoughts on that situation? So it's obviously complex, and there's no one answer fits everybody. But again, if a guy mamish had an anger man, if a parent had an anger management problem, you know, so then the parent is unwell. I think in most of these cases, it's just like in some communities, so corporal punishment from parent to child is more acceptable. And I will tell you that, you know, 50 years ago in America, it was much more acceptable in America too. People used to hit more 50 years ago. Revolbi came out like it was a landmark book in the Haredi world when in Zerio ben Yechinich he wrote that hitting kids is counterproductive. The Gemara talks about distinction between small kids and big kids, about hitting kids. The Gemara already said that hundreds of years ago. But I think that a child should just realize that the parent was just mostly misinformed about how to do it. And probably that kid's parent also, the parent's parent disciplined him that way. And that's the way they learned how to do it. It's a terrible thing. Hitting kids is a terrible thing. It should not be done. It's terrible. I think there is room for a person to forgive their parents because the parent just didn't know better. The parent thought that's the way their parent disciplined them. Or, you know, the Torah says that a parent is allowed to hit a child. So even though the Torah says a parent is allowed to hit a child, we see nowadays that it doesn't work. Revolbi, give the man credit. Revolbi wrote in Zerio ben Yechinich, even though many in the Haredi world were using that type of, and probably still do, many probably still do, but less and less do, after Revolbi wrote what he wrote in Zerio ben Yechinich, that it's a horrible thing. He writes there that it's a horrible thing to do. So he made a very strong dent in the Haredi world. Not to do it, the modern Orthodox world was a little bit ahead of the Haredi world on this issue, and people stopped doing it. But it exists plenty in the modern Orthodox world too. I think in the Sephardi community, corporal punishment is much more accepted. And so because it's a communal norm, so even though it's terrible and shouldn't be done and it's counterproductive, I think there's room to forgive parents for this, because the parents probably just didn't know better and they thought they were doing the right thing. They thought they were being helpful. That's my feeling in most of the cases. Again, not in every case. I'm sure there's cases of where parents, you know, had anger management issues and got carried away. That's terrible. That's a different story. And that requires a different kind of perspective, that Nebuch, my dad, was sick. He was sick. That's a different limitzchus. He was sick. He just has anger management issues. So we feel badly. Again, I know it hurt. It hurt, and it's hard to get over that hurt. But if you're looking for a way to try to be mechaber your parents, if you're looking for such a thing, then you maybe could say he was sick. But again, if a guy's parents, you know, would beat him up regularly, I'm not sure the kid has to respect his parents. I'm not sure the kid has to in that case. But if a person's looking for a good reason to, then maybe he could think that way. Any thoughts, any pushback, any questions? Or, yeah, Reuven Zachariah. I meant Zachariah Reuven, you know, of course. I do that all the time.
The first time
I was right. You and the other Zach Goldberg. Okay, I always confuse that. Sorry, go ahead.
Rebbe mentioned areas where, specifically like bullying and other areas where Rebbe doesn't think how punishment can be helpful, just because oftentimes when you explain to people the reason and the consequences of their action. What about areas where kids have like a particular type of four, like, as Rebbe spoke about it in the past, like drugs and alcohol or breaking Shabbos or something like this, which they don't necessarily appreciate, you know, let's say the long-term effects of something like drugs and alcohol, or they don't appreciate Shabbos yet or appreciate tefillah. And there's a taiva to sleep late. There's a taiva to go on your phone. What do we do when, what should be the approach when the reason can't necessarily be explained, but the type is very strong?
So, by Yiddishkeit issues, I think even 100 times more that you can't punish. By Yiddishkeit issues, for sure you can't punish. I don't care that the kid is not yet ready. Forcing Yiddishkeit is a contradiction in terms. Avodas Hashem has to be from a child who appreciates it. If you're going to force the kid to go to shul, he's not going to shul. He's not, so you're going to force a kid to daven. That's a contradiction in terms. There we have to show the kids why davening is beautiful. Show the kids why Shabbos is beautiful. Yeah, he's 10 years old. He's not capable. Good. Okay, fine. So give him ice cream. So give him some, you know, on Shabbos, just figure out a way to make Shabbos enjoyable. But, you know, if he's young, but, he'll get there. If the parents model the beauty of Shabbos over time in an age-appropriate way to the kid, yeah, davening. I made the mistake with my. I think I talked about it on the 1840. I made a mistake about forcing my kid to daven. Like, you know, you can't force a kid to daven. You got to be a role model in davening. The best thing you could do for your kid's davening is that you should daven like a slonim or chassid. That's the best thing you could do for your kid's davening, and surround your kid with people who daven like that. And bring your kid to a shul where they daven like that. And, you know, where they daven erlich, where they daven with intensity. So you mentioned davening, Shabbos, your phone. Those areas, for sure, you can't punish. For sure, when it comes to Yiddishkeit, you can't force Yiddishkeit on somebody. You got to cultivate. That's Rav Volbe's whole point of his book. Cultivate a relationship with Hashem. Now, drugs and alcohol, you know, honestly, especially when it comes to drugs, alcohol, we had a schmooze on, and I go to engagement parties now sometimes, and everyone's sitting around the bar and, like, you know, whatever, we talked about alcohol, but drugs, again, I know they legalized it. But I don't believe that, put it this way. Again, maybe I'm just talking about kids in DRS, but 99% of the kids that I met in DRS, when you confront them, 99%, it's not totally true. I mean, not at least certainly recently, we've done a good job in the, from community in the last couple of years about like putting a taboo on drugs. We'll see if the legalization will. No kid in DRS wants to be known as a druggie. Now, again, sometimes that's not totally true. There is the 1%, maybe it's 5%. I'm thinking of one kid particularly who, I actually had a kid, again, I hate sometimes talking like this because I don't want the story to get out, but it's so instructive for me to teach you guys about what's going on in the world. It's like, it's just so important. I had one kid this year who came to me, because you're right, Zach, you're right that sometimes a kid, you know, he says, it's good for me, it's good for me, the drugs are good for me. It's very rare, but it does happen. One kid who said it's good for me, found himself in rehab for like 3 months. He couldn't go to Israel for the year because he was in rehab for 3 months. Baruch Hashem, he then turned himself around afterwards, got married recently. So Baruch Hashem, it was had a nice ending to the story. It doesn't always have a nice ending. But another kid, so I tested him end of junior year last year. He said, Rabbi, drugs are good for me. Drugs are good for me. I said, I'm sorry, if just with you, you're not welcome back here next year. So I followed up with him after the summer, him and his mom. He said, drugs are good for me. I said, sorry, you got to find another school. He thought about it for a week and said, listen, Rabbi, I still think drugs are good for me, but I realized I probably should be in school this year. Like he thought he would like go get a job. He wouldn't go to school, but he rethought it together with his mom. I decided, even though drugs are good for me, I'm coming back to school. I'm going to be clean. And this kid was a very honest kid. He was mamish clean the whole year. He was clean the whole year. He did beautifully. He did amazing senior year. Totally changed himself around. Grew tremendously. You know, so look, we have a rule. If you're doing that, you can't be a Talmud in the yeshiva. So even this kid, even these two kids, like, it's very few kids. I've talked to a lot of kids. Look, you know, YU thinks I'm the world's expert on drugs. That's what YU thinks. When the Smicha program asked me to come speak to the Smicha guys, they didn't ask me to talk about like how to inspire kids, how to teach Torah and other. What's Kamenetsky coming to speak to the Smicha guys about? Oh, how do you talk to kids about drugs? Like I'm the expert on drugs, Lamaisa. That's what everybody knows me for. Okay. Whatever it is. I didn't say no. I came. I spoke to the Smicha students about drugs. Okay. I talked about it. So anyway, but I have had some conversations with kids about drugs. So I'm telling you, most kids, the overwhelming majority of kids, it's taboo. It's taboo. And even if they give you a line, it's really okay. They don't really mean it. Nobody wants to be a druggie. Nobody wants to be a druggie. Very, very, very few people, at least of the guys that I came together. Yeah, Gabe, I think you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I'm just pivoting a little bit, but still similar. So if a person's really not supposed to punish anyone and really supposed to just give you like positive reinforcement, what are you doing?
I'm sorry, Gabe. I'm sorry. I don't mean to say that punishment is never the right thing. I did actually list a couple of scenarios where I don't want to say that it's never the right thing. That's not true. I don't believe that. And you saw I listed a few cases where, but in general, if it doesn't fit the crime, you know, if it's not going to be a learning experience, just I'm a punishment for the sake of you violated, you have to get a consequence. If it's not going to teach anything, I'm against. But I'm sorry for cutting you off. Go ahead. Now ask me a question.
What happens if a child's like young, like a 5, 6? How do you train a 5 and 6 year old?
Mask him. Yeah. So there, in those cases, yeah. Then it's more. It's again. I don't remember what it was like to have 5 and 6 year olds, and now I have 5 and 6 year old grandchildren. But it's their parents' problem, not my problem. But yeah, when a kid is very young, like kid runs into the street, right? You're walking with the kid, he runs into the street. That's like the classic example. Yeah, you got to do something to the kid. Yeah, he's 5 years old. You can't reason with him. He doesn't understand why it's a problem. Right? Yeah, you can't reason with him. You got to do something to him. You got to like, you know, give him a timeout or I don't know, take away his dessert or something. I don't know. And that's a case. When the kids are very young, yeah, you have to discipline them a little bit more. People said like timeout. You know, timeout I think is a good thing. I like timeout because I believe in that. Like just take a few, like let's think it over. Think over what just happened and you'll remember it. And yeah, sometimes a parent has to yell when the kid is 5 and 6 years old because the fact that daddy, mommy yelled, again, you can't get angry. We got to show anger. I believe in showing anger because they'll remember, oh my gosh, I can't do this. It'll associate with themselves. They can't run into the street. I can't punch my little brother in the face if one is 6 and one is 4. You have to remember not to do that. You know, so I think with younger kids, the masking gate with younger kids, punishment definitely has more place to go. Anybody else? Last pieces of thought. Somebody else had their hand raised. No? Okay, we're good. Rabbi, thank you very much for joining. And we'll, you know, if there's a chever that wants to continue this, so Bez Hashem after the summer, we'll continue it. But June, you know, I'm pretty much out with weddings and other stuff. So Bez Hashem after the summer. Hope everyone should have a great summer. And really, thank you for joining me in these discussions. I enjoy them very much, and I hope you get something out of them as well.
Thank you so much, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi. You should.